This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
All right, welcome to the show. Packer and Durham, he is back. Mr. Durham, how
Brooks,
are you feeling?
You want to let Brooks handle it? I'm doing well, thank you, and it's good to be back with you. Do we want to let Drew Brooks handle that? We want to put Drew Brooks in charge?
Of
make
what?
Him, he's the head of the Lumberjacks, he and Macri, of accepting affiliate requests for the Packer and Durham radio syndicate.
Oh, whoever, I don't even know who's doing it, to be honest with you. I'm completely out of the blue with that one. So, again, if you are a general manager of a radio station or... You know, like you said, if you're a president and you have a...
Hit us on the Twitter. Let's do that. Let's just hit us up on the Twitter.
Just send
Let's
us
do
a
that.
We'll hook
just
you
send
up
us
with
a
the,
tweet.
With the real...
Yeah, send us a tweet.
The
we'll
real smart folks up in Bristol who are doing all this stuff. We're just in our basements with dogs trying to win another Emmy. That's all we do.
By the way...
Yes, sir?
Thanks to Anish Shroff for sitting in yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Without question, the best hair to ever appear on this program in 371 shows. Not even close how good his flow is right now.
Well, yeah, he's got the hair. There's no doubt. I'm trying to think.
Give that in terms of thought. A co-host, best ever. Co-host, best ever. I know Katie George. I know Kelsey Riggs. I know the ladies. We've had some ladies come join you.
We haven't. Coveted invite hasn't been a co-host. Andrea Adelson
she's never
has
been a co-host?
Been.
Okay.
Andrea Adelson.
Sorry. Kelsey. Nope. Anish.
Kelsey's been a co-host. Kelsey has sat in this chair.
Right. His flow's
Andrea
been excellent.
Adelson's been in this
his
chair.
His flow's been excellent.
Yeah. Anish has got going on. It was great having him. He's a good dude. Love Anish.
Yeah, great guy.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for helping out yesterday. So, yeah. Everything else good for you? All good? No problems? Everything?
You know, what?
Getting Listen, ready to go to month of May.
Here's the deal. Number one. I've got the greatest gig in America. My commute is 16 steps. 16. From the kitchen, downstairs with the hounds. So I got a commute of 16 steps. I never leave the basement, right? I'm here in the mornings. I'm here in the afternoons on Sirius XM84. My wife feeds me. She feels sorry for me and takes care of me. I got a Ford F-150 nice. Pickup truck that's still under 100,000 miles and it's 11 years old. It's gassed up and it's... covered in pollen. My buddy Larry Penley just won another ACC championship. I might have the greatest gig on the planet. I have only one good knee, but I've got plenty of bourbon. So, I mean, I'm good. How could I complain?
Okay.
And if I did, who would care? Right. So life is fantastic. I can never complain.
Nice.
But the Giants are tied for first place in the National League West.
Amazing.
You know, amazing. I'm surprised we don't have it by ourselves, but hey, we got to share it with somebody for now. We will. I mean, what could I possibly complain about? Seriously.
Okay.
My youngest daughter's going to graduate from Clemson University coming up next week. So we'll have both of them out of the out-of-state tuition business. I mean, can anybody have it any better than me is the question. No. I got a bobblehead right
here.
You're
going on vacation. You're going on vacation like the third week in May?
Something like that. You know, the girls are dragging me to some isolated island, which I can't even pronounce. So we're doing that. So, I mean, life is good. I cannot complain. Cannot complain.
Good.
I got two dogs that love me.
All right. Excellent.
What do you want?
Yeah. There you go. Speaking of your friend, Coach Penley.
How about that?
Let's start the show. With high drama yesterday at the 7,300-yard par 70 Capital City Club Crabapple Course north of Atlanta, where they staged the Atlantic Coast Conference Men's Golf Championship. The match play came down to the 4-seed Florida State and the 2-seed Clemson. Clemson had gotten there by beating NC State. And Florida State had gotten there by beating North Carolina in the match play. They had finished 1-4, respectively, in the stroke play competition. And the Tigers yesterday, with a dramatic 3-2 come-from-behind win in the match play over Florida State to win their 11th overall men's title and their 10th under the legendary head coach Larry Penley and their first in 5 years. In fact, it's the first time they've won the match play format for the ACC Golf Championship. Clemson never led in the match play sequencing yesterday until the 21st hole of what ended up being the last match. Now, arguably the best match pack during the match play was Jacob Bridgman and John Pack. But here is Zach Gordon's 20-foot birdie at the third playoff hole of his match with yesterday to beat Florida State's Grayson Porter, who you see just slide it below the hole, and Clemson wins. By the way, Gordon became the only Tiger to birdie the third hole during the week. 26 times they played it, one birdie on the third hole, and it was the game winner and tournament winner for the Tigers, and Larry Penley will join us later at 9 o'clock this morning. So, all that being said, congratulations to the Tigers. Pack, a alumni of the program, congratulations to you and the Clemson golf alums around the world who are celebrating another ACC title.
I can honestly tell you, like the previous 10 Clemson won, I had absolutely, positively nothing to do with it. Nothing. But I will tell you, and I'm not saying this now as a unbiased host on an ACC show, I openly root for my man Larry Penley. Old roommate, right. And he took over when I was there. We were roomies together, and you know the story by now. But, man, what a way. He's announced his retirement. They do not make better people than Larry, and could not be happier for him and his team. And I will just tell you this. Florida State is the number two ranked team in the country.
Boy, Trey Jones got a good program.
They are great, like could win the national championship great. That's how good they are. And they were in total control of the match yesterday. And match play, as Larry said yesterday afterwards, hey, match play's tricky. And, you know, if it was all about stroke play, North Carolina would have run away with it and won an ACC golf championship because they would lap the field for the first three rounds. But then you go, the top four teams move on. You mentioned North Carolina was the one seed. Florida State was the four, and Florida State woodshedded them in match play. I mean, just killed them. Mm-hmm. And Clemson beat NC State. That was a 2-3. But, you know, stroke play, I've always said, and again, the little I can play, I used to play, you know, stroke play to me is a better indicator of the team or the individual over a period of time. Match play, you can get hot, and there's an ebb and flow. But as far as television goes and fan interest and keeping up with it, match play is crazy, and you saw that yesterday because Florida State, it kind of reminded me a little bit of like the Notre Dame-Duke lacrosse game the other night where Notre Dame for basically 95% of the game was in control, had the lead. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was theirs to lose. It really kind of felt that way yesterday with Florida State golf that, hey, they were in control. At one time, they were up four matches and one was square. And you're thinking, well, how in the world are they going to lose this thing? Well, you know, match play's goofy. Teams get hot. Guys get hot, start making putts. You make a couple birdies back-to-back. You go from two down to even. It's kind of what Bridgman did against Pack. And, again, they're the number one and four-ranked players in the country. But Clemson's comeback yesterday was truly epic in terms of the golf world. But, again, like I said, Florida State is good enough to win the national championship. There's a bunch of teams in this league good enough to win the national championship. But I could not be happier for Larry, given the fact that, hey, he's won 10 of them personally as a coach. And this being his last farewell run, what a way to go out. And, you know, he lost his dad, Bud. And something tells me old Bud was looking down yesterday with a wink and going, hey, don't quit. Keep grinding. And that's what their guys did, man. It was a great, great win. So I could not be happier for Larry and the Clemson golf team. And I said as an alum and so forth, and just it was awesome. But, again, Florida State, I know that was a bummer, but that team, believe me, as we get into the NCAAs, that is a team that can win it all. They're that good.
Yep, no question. And the other aspect about this that you'll find fascinating if you follow college golf and understand the competitive nature of this, because the top four schools go to match play, there was a situation, I guess, Saturday, right, Pac? Yeah, because Saturday was when they finished up stroke play, where they were down to four teams for the last spot in the match play, right?
Yep.
Three teams for the last spot, and Florida State was one of those teams, right?
Yeah.
Florida State was one of those teams. Georgia Tech was one of those teams. You had Carolina, NC State, and Clemson all set to go. Florida State had to, you know, kind of hold hope there at the end to advance into the match play, and it shows you just how thin the line is.
And Georgia Tech, quite frankly, kind of – butchered the 18th hole with their team. If they if their guy again, if's the biggest word in sports. If their guys had made pars on the last hole, they would have been the one that's sitting here in the four spot, not Florida State. So again, stroke play, match play, very different, but that's the format now in college golf, and it lent for some incredible drama yesterday for folks that are into college golf. And again, you had the number two and number four ranked teams in the country going after each other, two of the best players in the country with Bridgman and Pack going head to head, and you know Pack's up two with through 11, and Bridgman had to come back. And at that point, Bridgman had to win the match because Florida State basically had two in their back pocket, and you need three, and that's all it took. Yeah. But Clemson found a way, and that's and sometimes that's the deal. But really happy for Larry. He's a great story, and a great person.
Yep, we look forward to visiting with him at 9 o'clock. So that means we've crowned Duke as the women's golf champ, Clemson as the men's golf champ, and we'll get to more championship crowning this weekend because ACC Women's Lacrosse is headed to Chapel Hill. You'll be able to see full coverage of the tournament on ACC Network and ACC Network Extra. Couple of notes from Syracuse regarding their respective lacrosse programs as we head toward the postseason. On the men's side, Chase Scanlon, who is their leading scorer with 24 goals and third on the team with 33 points, has now been reinstated to John Desco's team. He was suspended after the North Carolina game and missed last week's win over Virginia. Syracuse Notre Dame is Saturday. The Orange lost to the Irish 18-11 earlier this year. So Chase Scanlon is back in the lineup for Coach Desco and the men's program. The news is not so good on the women's side for the Orange. Megan Carney, who had been with us on this show before, who led the team with 49 goals and is second with 69 points, is out for the year. She suffered a torn ACL in the match against Boston College. Syracuse, Virginia Tech tomorrow at 5 o'clock here on ACC Network from Chapel Hill as part of the ACC Women's Lacrosse Championship. So Megan Carney's season has come to a close, and our best wishes to her for a healthy return to the lineup for Coach Gary Gate, who will be with us at 9:30 this morning. So that's kind of the news of lacrosse as we get set for the women's championships as well.
Yeah, a pair of 22s in the news there, both on the men's and the women's side. Really hate it for Megan Carney. She was a joy to talk to, and hopefully she has a speedy recovery, and that's a big blow for the Syracuse women's team. And I saw the rankings real quickly. We keep talking. I know I get emails. And Pat, you guys talk a lot about lacrosse. Well, it's spring. Number two, we do cover the ACC. And number three, the ACC is great in the sport. Here are the rank. Let me just rattle this real quick. Here are the latest rankings from Inside Lacrosse on just the women's side. North Carolina is ranked number one in the country. Syracuse is number three. Boston College is number four. Notre Dame is number five. Duke is number six. You know, how did we leave out number two? I mean, that is how ridiculous it is. But then you go on. Virginia's 11. Louisville and Virginia Tech are 19th. I mean, it's stupid how great this league is in lacrosse. So when the tournament gets cranked up this week, and again, we'll have it for you here on the network and so forth. If you haven't watched it, I highly suggest you do. We keep telling you. Men's side, women's side, you may not know the rules, but you'll put the remote down when you watch it because it is fast. There is a ton of scoring, incredible athleticism, and it's a combination of a little football, a little hockey, a little basketball. It seems like everything's a fast break. I mean, it's just a great, great sport.
Yeah. Very enjoyable on both the men's and women's side, and the ACC is excellent at both. And as we said, I think about 3 weeks ago, there is a chance. You're looking at potential Final Fours for both men's and women's at the national level featuring ACC teams. And that would be quite a statement by this conference in a year like this where everybody's had to fight so hard to get it staged. So we look forward to Larry Penley at 9, Gary Gate at 9:30. Brian Kalbas will be here shortly. He's the women's tennis coach at Carolina. He comes up bottom of the hour. They're working their way to postseason, coming off postseason, getting ready for the NCAA tournament. And Matt Nelson, who is absolutely ripping things apart for Florida State baseball from a hitting perspective, will join us as well. So we're looking forward to catching up with him. So we got a big show, but when we come back, right now we're on the cusp of the NFL draft Thursday night, but if you had to name the star athlete right now on your campus at your favorite ACC school, who would it be right now? We put it to social media, got some interesting answers, and we're going to get to your calls and more when Packer and Durham's Tuesday rolls on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. It's 844-SAY-ACCN.
I got breaking news here this morning. I want to share it with you real quick. This is from the pages of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, right?
Braves got a hit.
I just want to share this.
Braves got a hit.
No,
Braves got
no.
a hit.
Braves. We've recovered from the instant replay gaffe, apparently. Oh. The Duke's Mayonnaise Classic in Charlotte is expected to sell out. We got that this morning in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. The Georgia-Clemson game is expected to sell out.
Who knew? Is that where
I'd like to welcome y'all.
Is that where your like local newspaper, y'all. Is that where we're going now, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution? We breaking news that Clemson, Georgia is going to be a sellout?
It might be a sellout.
Wait a minute. Breaking news. Charlotte Observer, Mark Packer to eat barbecue by lunch. Look at that. God, come on. Please.
Seriously. I just looked on the phone here to check the news, and it says, AJC Sports, Georgia Clemson expected to sell out. Expected to sell out.
You better bring your check.
It's sold out.
You better bring a big wad of cash. You want to take it to that game, boys and girls.
God.
That is going to be some
Holy
scene
smokes.
Here in Queen City. I guarantee
All right.
you that.
Okay. I'm glad we've got this topic, and I'm glad we've already gotten some input from ACC fans about it, because it is an interest. We're kind of crossing that wire and a little bit about, you know, the NIL and the impact on student athletes and all the other little things. And sometimes I guess it's confusing. So why not boil it down to its lowest common denominator? If you had to right now on your campus of your favorite ACC institution and maybe another school you follow, who would be the star athlete right now? And given NIL pack, given all the things social media-wise, all the, quote, influencer pieces that go into play here, when you start to think about it, it's not as much of a given, I think, as some people think it is for certain schools, right? I mean, there are other people, other athletes, maybe in a sport that you don't think about as much. Now, are the brand name athletes going to be there, guys that are stars at their particular school? Would Trevor Lawrence have been at Clemson? Would he be number one a year ago? The answer to that is yes. But Thursday night, his life would change and go to Jacksonville. So now, how does Clemson, for instance, shake out? What about Boston College? What about these other A's? How about Duke right now? No Zion Williamson there. Paolo Panchero, who's expected to be one of the top players in college basketball next year as a freshman from the Seattle area, is not in school. So you start thinking about it. This is a really interesting question, I think.
Well, I thought of this, to be honest with you, when I was watching a ACC softball game last week. Mm. And when I saw Valerie Cagle, who we've talked about on this show, she threw a couple no-hitters. She hit a softball about as far as I hit a six-iron when I was really playing. I started thinking about this. I said, you know what? Could you make the case that Valerie Cagle is the biggest sports star on Clemson's campus? Now, I'm not looking for a fist fight. I'm just opening this up for conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm talking about right now. I mean, when you talk about footballers, DJ Uiagalelei and all that stuff. But, you know, DJ, it's still kind of a work in progress. Valerie Cagle at Clemson has become a rock star. I mean, whether she's at the plate or whether she's striking somebody out. And so I started thinking about the rest of the conference, Wes, in terms of on your campus right now, this date in April.
Sure.
Who is the biggest star that you would consider that?
Right.
And you just mentioned Duke. And I thought about Duke because it's like, hey, you know, the one and done era, it's gone through its deal. So we don't know what the new rooks are going to look like, if you will, on their campus for men's basketball. You know, football has struggled. There's not really a star power from that perspective. Lacrosse, we keep talking about how great lacrosse is, and it is. Guy like Michael Sowers, right? Scores at any point. I mean, the comeback wins, the Thursday night overtime sudden victory thrillers. I mean, is that the answer to the question? So it kind of got us onto this topic that we're unveiling today, that when you go across the league, I don't think it's as easy as you think to answer the question at each ACC school.
Yeah. I'll give you one. I'm not disagreeing with Michael Sowers. I think that's a really good answer. But to me, it would be Gina Kim.
Could very well be.
Because Gina Kim is one of the top women amateur players in the country.
Right.
I mean, she's somebody capable of going to the professional ranks in the LPGA and, you know, being a major factor on the LPGA Tour. Michael Sowers, Gina Kim. And it doesn't mean that Paolo Panchero won't be, or Gunnar Holmberg, or whatever the case may be from another sport. But right now, today, Michael Sowers, excellent choice. Excellent choice. Gina Kim, excellent choice. All right, let's take Clemson for a minute. Valerie Cagle is doing things at Clemson. Let's be honest, Pac. I'm not sure we've seen two no-hitters in a week and home runs and all these stuff. I mean, I don't know the last time that stuff's happened. I know it hadn't happened in a year and a half of Clemson softball.
Well, I mean, the bomb she hit the other day over the scoreboard was, not to go too crazy on him, it was almost one of those Babe Ruth moments, right? Like, holy mackerel, she just hit it up over the scoreboard. When she got walked against NC State with the bases loaded in the bottom of 17, you know, they're down three. What are we talking about? I mean, stuff's happening that you're kind of like, whoa, well, let's take a step back here, because you just don't see this kind of stuff happen with athletes unless they're special. And that's where how this whole premise got started for the show with this topic, is what the whole Valerie Cagle story at Clemson. I mean, we're going to talk to Matt Nelson at Florida State. I mean, that's a school that's always got incredible athletes all over the place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's the answer, Florida State? I mean, if I said to you immediately, right now, I mean, hey, Scotty Barnes. Hey, Scotty Barnes is gone. I mean, right? Scotty Barnes.
Yeah, he's gone.
So Scotty Barnes is not eligible
for
conversation.
Marvin Wilson's gone. Scotty Barnes is gone. Yeah, I mean, it's tough. Football right now, the most notable story in football is Mackenzie Milton.
Right.
And it's not fair that that's the situation, because he hasn't taken in-game snap yet for the Seminoles. But when we're at this point now with name, image, and likeness and the monetization of those type things, and again, all the business side of this will be sorted out, but those conceptual ideas on your particular campus, this thing is going to change a little bit, because you're going to have – people are going to see – Mark, you know this better than anybody I've ever worked with. The marketplace for student-athletes is something a student-athlete's never thought about. And now all of a sudden they're being given this window. The name, image, and likeness window creates a marketplace for a student-athlete. Student-athletes don't think about it. They don't think – they like the idea of being able to monetize their image and likeness, but they don't think about that marketplace and the pro and con that go with it, and that will change too.
Well, I don't know about that, Wes, because I'll tell you why. We had an interview on our show last week with Kristen McFarland, who we just think the world of. And, you know, very attractive, incredibly athletic, terrific soccer player. And we asked her that question, and she immediately said, oh, yeah, Nike would be a great brand. And she's talking about maybe taking her skills to Europe to play. And, I do think kids think about it that are – stars, right? I mean, I think the upper 1%, you got to be thinking about it, because it's getting ready to happen. And if you're going to be, nonchalant about it, listen, you can't control who's going to say I'm in, but you certainly would worry about, exposure and all that kind of stuff. I think it's just kind of a natural sense that, hey, if you're playing at a ridiculously high level and your team's successful and you're having a great year or a great career, why wouldn't you think about it? You'd be crazy not to think about it. So I don't know about, student athletes not thinking about it. I think they are thinking about it, quite frankly. And there's going to be a market for some of them. I just don't think there will be a market for all of them. And I think that's one of the concerns that, the vast fan base has is, oh, my God, guys are just going to get paid. I don't think all of them are going to get paid. In fact, I think very few are going to really see some dollars on this, in my opinion. Now, I may be 100% wrong, but you're talking about 500,000 student-athletes that participate. I think it's going to be a minuscule number of people that actually see some significant dollars that actually come their way. But we'll see where it goes. Yeah. I mean, the market runs. It's Econ 101. It's supply and demand.
Your calls are welcome. 844-SAY-ACCN. You can always use the hashtag Packer and Durham on Twitter to make your suggestions. We'll get to some of your responses as well as maybe who we think right now. If you had to, you know, you had to pick one coming up as well. Brian Kalbus going to join us here in just a minute. Don't forget tonight, the Huddle is back on ACC Network, and this is the featured edition. Look back at some of the best and most memorable stories that have made the soon-to-be NFL draftees out of the ACC so successful on and off the field. 9:30 tonight right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. Carolina was a 4-1 winner over the weekend in Rome, Georgia over Georgia Tech in the finals of the 2021 ACC Women's Tennis Championship. Brian Kalbus coached the Tar Heels, and he will be with us next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham. We will continue that discussion, by the way, of biggest star on campus. We'll do it for every school in the league. So just don't think we're just doing it for a couple and blowing everybody off. No. It's not how we roll. So we will address that throughout the course.
Love all, serve all, right?
We will address that throughout the course of the show. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number if you want to participate. Wes, our next guest makes his debut on our show. And I'm a little surprised it's taken this long, to be honest with you, because the women's tennis program at North Carolina, indoor, outdoor, on the moon, it doesn't matter. You pick a planet, they don't lose. They win titles. They got a zero in the loss column, and they are absolutely lethal on the courts. And we bring on Brian Kalbus, who's done really a great job in Chapel Hill. Coach, good morning. Welcome to the show, and congratulations. What a year it has been for you and the ladies.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a special year. Last year we were undefeated, ranked number one, got our season cut short. So we're so appreciative to be able to play this year and do so well. So,
you know, Coach, it's interesting. We get to May and we're still here in the same temperament. You know, not everybody's had the season you guys have had, but you're just grateful for the opportunity. Has that been kind of part of the momentum for your team this year, just to be back and be able to do this after having it shut down last year?
Yeah, we didn't get to play in the fall. The ACC made a decision for men's and women's tennis to not be able to play in the fall. So we have three super seniors back, you know, from last year that they got to come back and finish something and be excited to be part of this special team. So we have the biggest team we've ever had, which is 13 players. So we're really appreciative of the opportunity to play this spring and every match. I mean, the excitement, the love to compete is so prevalent in our team, and we're showing it every single match. It's awesome to see.
Coach, I always find certain sports that the mental aspect of it to me is as fascinating as the physical part. When you go on a run like this and you're having just crazy success, how do you keep everybody sharp? And I know you just talked about, hey, we got all these players, the competition every day at practice matches keeps everybody, you know, dialed in, chip on shoulder. But as far as away from the matches, you know, practices, keeping just dialed in, it's been hard enough to stay healthy. You got classwork you got to worry about, travel, et cetera, et cetera. But from your perspective, keeping everybody sharp mentally, how easy or how difficult has that been?
You know, we have amazing coaches here at North Carolina, and I've learned from all these amazing coaches, you know, Coach Williams and Anson Dorrance, Karen Shelton, Jenny Levy. One of the things I learned from Anson is to keep your team focused, especially on the road. So for the last 10 years, we've been reading a book during the season This year's book is What Drives Winning. So when we're on the road, you know, we have a player kind of present on a chapter or an idea or a value, and it really keeps us grounded, keeps us focused on what we want to accomplish that next day, that next match. So we don't really talk about the streak. We don't talk about winning. We don't talk about, you know, anything but, you know, what we need to focus on. So, you know, this past weekend, we had three presenters. We had McKenna, Alexa, and Anna Harmon, one of our captains, present each day before the ACC tournament. And it was really neat to hear from them and learn about what's important to them and how we need to stay focused on the next day. So that's kind of helped us keep us grounded from match to match. And we don't get ahead of ourselves. We don't think about anything but really the next match, the next opportunity that we have in front of us.
But wait a second. Two of those are super seniors, aren't they?
They are. Yeah, McKenna and Alexa are two super seniors. Yeah, they've been incredible for us.
So what I was going to say is, Pack, that sounds like good scripting by the head coach to make sure the three players are all impact players that are presenting, right? I mean, and there is some of that in this, right? I mean, when you get to this stage, and look, this is five straight ACC titles for you guys. I mean, I don't have to tell you, that's what it is. But the idea of understanding the veterans, passing on that knowledge to get to that moment and, I guess, educate the moment for everybody else. So when you get, you know, McKenna and Alexa involved, they're super seniors. They know good. They've never lost. They don't know what it's like to lose. How valuable is that for them to be the leaders of your team the night before the match, I guess?
Yeah, and it was amazing, especially hearing Alexa. Alexa gave a talk about appreciation, and to hear her talk, she gave the best talk of the year, in my opinion. To hear her talk about how appreciative she was to come back and thanking, you know, Coach Williams and Wanda for the opportunity to pay for them to come back. Was so, you know, so amazing. You know, you hear Anson before the NCAA finals, how he writes a letter to all his seniors, you know, and then reads it before the event. To hear Alexa talk about how much it means to her to come back and how much she and McKenna and Sarah Davitilla have kind of made the freshmen feel comfortable and special during this, you know, incredible year. It just makes the whole team atmosphere that much more special, and makes it more of a team atmosphere. Which, again, in tennis, you got a lot of different balls going on. So to make everyone feel like their role is important makes our job as a coach is much easier.
Brian, it's interesting at North Carolina in particular, especially the spring sports. It seems like every sport is either undefeated or ranked number one. I mean, it's really kind of uncanny. Sometimes I end up looking up stuff again just to make sure I'm reading it right, because, you know, you mentioned Anson and the incredible run he's had, and Karen Shelton's a legend, what you're accomplishing. The list just goes on and on and on. The support group that you guys have as coaches in that building, and again, I know everybody's going their different directions and you got different agendas and so forth, but could you just discuss how important that is, that, hey, it's great when field hockey's winning championships. It's great when, you know, golf's doing this, or, you know, lacrosse is doing this, or soccer, whatever the case may be. Because the amount of success that Bubba Cunningham has put together in terms of coaches is really, truly uncanny. Can you just talk about that relationship you've got with other coaches?
It's truly special. It's one of a kind. It really is. I mean, with our Leadership Academy, we have a venue where we have coaches that get together. We talk and share ideas. Even on the bus ride back after winning, you know, Coach Williams called me, got texts from all the coaches congratulating us. We help each other. In the college tennis fraternity, you don't share ideas because you don't want to share ideas with your competitors. Here at Carolina, all the coaches want everybody to do extremely well. So they're sharing secrets and ideas. I've learned from Karen and what she's been able to do, being the hunted. And I've learned from Anson. Anson's spoken with our team. Jenny Levy is a great friend of ours and is constantly giving me, you know, tips about, you know, what to do, you know, throughout the season and how to stay focused. So it really is a close-knit family. But what's really amazing is that they, you know, we truly really want what's best for everybody. And Sam Paul, you know, my male counterpart, just won the national indoor title. So I think the competition and just the camaraderie between all the great coaches, it just feeds off each other. And we want everybody to do well, but we're also rooting for each other. And it's really a special, again, Bubba's done an incredible job bringing all these coaches in, and all these coaches are doing a great job of developing all these great teams.
Brian, I want to ask this in a way about Carolina, but also about your colleagues in tennis collegiately. Are we sensing that coaches are talking more now because of the pandemic a year ago and everything that had to happen to be able to play again and the uncertainty of your sports? Let's be honest, there was a degree of uncertainty in terms of postseason play for a while. Are you sensing that the collegial nature of coaching at the college level has grown a lot closer in the last year?
100%. I mean, we've had Zoom calls within Claire Powler, who's a coach at Northwestern. She set up all these ITA Zoom calls, once a week Zoom calls for all the coaches to get together and share ideas. And then Jen Hyde at Florida State, you know, kind of started getting all the ACC coaches on Zoom calls to talk about what we can do as a conference to make a difference and share ideas. Because there was periods of time where, you know, we weren't sure if we were going to play. So we were trying to figure out the best way to, especially when, you know, for us not being able to play in the fall. Each conference school had each state had different regulations. So we were trying to figure out what we were going to be able to do to keep our players and our team sharp. And we were sharing ideas, you know, because of, again, for us to compete, if the other teams weren't doing their part and being safe and healthy, you know, we would begin to just compete against ourselves, and that's no fun for us. So the Zoom calls, the more camaraderie we've had, you know, during this COVID pandemic with all the ACC schools and all the ITA schools has been much more communicative, and we cannot appreciate enough how much it means for everybody to be able to kind of finish this season the way we have.
Brian, I want to follow up. Wes and I were just talking about the biggest stars on each college campus in the ACC right now and how name, image, and likeness is really going to be fascinating to watch. What kind of impact do you think name, image, and likeness is going to have on women's college tennis? Not necessarily just at North Carolina, but big picture.
Well, we have a few players, former athletes that are playing in the Pro Tour, Haley Carter, Jamie Loeb, Jesse Aney, and a lot of our players now want to be on the Pro Tour. So I think, you know, again, it's more prevalent with the bigger sports. I know women's soccer, it's gotten to be huge with them. But we're getting to the point where our athletes want to be professional athletes. And I think it's getting to the point where they're going to, you know, be able to kind of have that name, image and likeness to be able to sell and maybe personally make some money off of what they've been able to accomplish. So my hesitancy is with, the recruiting aspect of things and the teams, the programs that have so much money and use it in a way that's not amateurism-like. So I think Bubba's doing an incredible job of trying to get the alumni being able to take care of them right now, and I think that's awesome. But I really worry about how it could turn into a recruiting bonanza of, you know, hey, we're going to offer you, you know, you can come to our school because, you know, we can provide this kind of money, these opportunities in the name, image, and likeness situation. I think that, to me, goes against the amateur model. And that's my concern with the whole thing.
That's well said. Next Monday is the selection. I know you're in, let's be honest. You got the auto, but what kind of field do you hope to draw? What do you think the competitive level will be? Will it be back to normal or will it be a little different when the NCAA gets staged?
Yeah, so they pre-selected 20 schools to have hosting first two rounds, and we were obviously pre-selected as one of those schools. So we'll hopefully, with our ranking, host the first two rounds, which is May 7th and 8th. They've done away, because of COVID and the pandemic, they've done away with the teams that win those first two rounds and being able to host the round of 16. So now the round of 16 is, and the quarter, semis, and finals are all going to be in Orlando. Unfortunately, if we win the first two rounds, we're not going to host the round of 16, which we did a couple of years ago. But it's going to be interesting to see how they handle the regional sites and who goes to those sites. In the past, they did not have conference teams in each little small four-team pod. It'd be interesting to see if they keep that or if they make it more regionalized because we're hopeful that because the ACC is arguably one of the if not the best conference in the nation, and we're hopeful that they can kind of make it a traditional tournament and keep the conference opponents away from each other until you get to the round of 16.
Got it. Coach, congratulations on a fifth straight women's title this past weekend. Good luck next week.
Thank you very much. And I was told to ask if you guys want something tennis to go into your studio.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, that's an open invitation for every coach in the league. If you want to showcase something, I mean, Karen Shelton keeps sending me these field hockey sticks with national championships on it. I use it as a back scratcher during the break. So, Coach, whatever you're in the mood for, you can send it our way. We'll give you the address.
Well, thanks for having me, and your show is amazing. We really appreciate you having me on. Thanks again.
Best of luck. We appreciate it.
You bet, Coach. Brian Kalvas not only does a phenomenal job, five straight ACC championships for North Carolina's women's tennis program. On the other side, as we reach the 15-minute mark in the first hour, Pat, we come back with this week's edition of True or False, presented by
Dish.
Well done. Haven't lost your touch at all on a Tuesday. This is ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday, 844-SAY-ACCN, the number for the program. We go up to Bristol, Connecticut. That's the home of the smart people, the folks that run the show, the radio affiliate people, and the smart folks, all that stuff. Voice of Victory,
there
Josh
he is.
Macri.
Voice of Victory, yep.
What's happening?
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Great.
We're great.
Good. You ready for a little true
good
or false?
Good show so far. You guys
Thank
have
you.
Done it.
True.
You guys have done a great job, by the way.
True.
Yeah, true. True.
Yeah. By the way,
true.
Pack, it's presented by
Dish.
Very good. Thank you for that. Nice. Without wasting any more time, let's get to the questions today. First one, women's lacrosse. The tournament starts tomorrow here on ACC Network. Which is true. True or false, we will see chalk in the first round, meaning all four of the top seeds, Carolina, Cuse, Boston College, Notre Dame, will all advance in their first round matches.
That would be true. That would be true. I'm going chalk.
Really?
Yep.
All right.
Going chalk.
I'll go chalk as well. I'll go one through four.
I will say this, though.
By the way,
Megan Carney's injury is a concern. That's not just a player getting hurt. That's a great player getting hurt. That will be – I know we're going to talk to Gary Gate coming up around 9:30 this morning, the Syracuse women's lacrosse coach.
Yep.
That's a little bit of a orange flag for me. But I still think they'll figure out a way to win, my opinion.
Yeah. All right. I'll go true as well, Josh.
Chalk. Boring.
True.
Yeah, it is. That's boring.
Someone who's not boring is Valerie Cagle, who, as we discussed, could be Clemson's biggest star athlete. And we saw her pull a Barry Bonds and get intentionally walked with the bases loaded over the weekend.
True.
But true or false, we will see that happen again at some point this season. Cagle getting walked with the bases chucked.
False.
About that. No. False. I don't think we're going to see that again.
False.
Come on, they walked her with the bases loaded.
That's crazy, isn't it, Wes?
That's like...
Huh? That's like the ultimate...
Crazy?
That's the ultimate sign of respect that, hey, we know we got the lead. We're trying to close this thing out in the seventh. Bases are loaded, but we saw you land one in Lake Kiawe, so you know what? We're just going to put you on first, and we'll just assume a 3-1 lead goes to a 3-2 lead, and we get everybody else out. That's like the ultimate sign of respect.
Can we roll that video one more time? I want to get a look at. I want to go back over there and look at Coach from NC State real quick. I just want you to check in on Jennifer Patrick Swift staring at the book here. Yeah, that's right. We're intentionally passing Valerie Cagle. Not this picture right here, right there. Yeah, we're just looking down here at the book, guys. Let's move along.
Wow.
That's what we're doing. Yeah, we're throwing four up. There we go. Oh, man. No, that's not going to happen again. That's all. That's all. That's not happening again. False.
Okay. From I'm
just,
softball.
I'm looking over here, just passing four balls, throwing them up there.
it looked like Wes doing right, math.
Nice. Thanks.
Well, softball strategy for you guys. From softball, we go to baseball. Matt Nelson will be joining us.
True.
Coming up in about 35 minutes, which is true. What's also true is that he leads all of Division I with 18 home runs. True. True or false, he will finish the season as the home run king. Keep in mind, he's three clear of second place right now.
That would also be true. Trifecta on trues. Yes, sir. Maybe the best Florida State catcher since Buster Posey. Just saying, boys and girls, this dude can hit it.
I got a lot from Matthew Nelson, by the way. I got a lot. I like, why 63? We got to figure out why we're wearing the offensive lineman number. We'll figure that one out and get into. I think he will win the national home run title. This is where the limited game thing kicks in, Pack. Because once we get to postseason, structured games, and not everybody's going to qualify. So, yeah, I like his chances to be the D1 home run king. So, there you go. By the way, that's it. That's it for True or False by.
Wait a minute. We only three True or False? And falses? We just run out of time? Is that what
Voice of Victory. Voice of Victory is producing the show.
Okay.
We got
true.
A lot going on here.
That's true. Presented by Dish.
So thanks again for Josh Macri. Excellent job. True or False, as always, is presented by
Dish.
Well done. Very true. All right. Hour two is coming up next. A couple of things here on the docket. Did you hear that they've been talking about expansion in the college football playoff?
True.
They have, and we will next. Hour two, Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham.